Right position.
Alrighty, hello and welcome to another episode of the Talking Para podcast and our second edition of Facebook Live. So hello to all our Facebook Live viewers, and thank you to all our listeners that listened to last week's podcast. So we're back again. We've got another full house again. We've got Joel from League of Inches. We've got Hayden from the Entertain House. We've got Maddie from M. Tatey Sports TV. You have myself, Troy, from the Paracave podcast. And we have our illustrious host, Adam, as well. And we are all pumped and ready for a massive show. We're all happy because we got the win last week. How you going, Adam?
I don't hate footy anymore. I hated footy last week, so hated footy for the last couple of weeks. But look, I love footy again. Look, I was there. I know Hayden was there as well. Fabulous night at Allianz Stadium. It was cold. Really starting to get used to this winter footy vibe. As you can see now, it's obviously cold here in Maitland as well. But it was a great night out. Look, I was very impressed by the performance. I still think we've got a lot of work to do, as if in I still think we've got our backs against the wall. If we can consistently turn up like that, we should be able to do it easily. But I guess our problem has been inconsistency throughout the year. We've been constantly turning up against these big teams. For me, South Sydney, they were the team to beat. They were my turnabout. I said that last week. And now I feel we need to just keep turning up and do that against every team. Because, look, we're playing for our season every week. I'll go to Hayden first. He was obviously the game. I kind of caught a glimpse of him at the end there. Your thoughts of being there, Hayden, before I continue to waffle?
Yeah, absolutely awesome game. To lose some of the, you know, key personnel that we had, especially being a bit shallow there off the bench, losing Madison and also Davey early on, who obviously we didn't think should be in the starting side, but unfortunate to see him out of the side due to that injury. But it was a really good team performance. I think the biggest thing is the fact that, and it was a little bit frustrating that we let South Sydney score the first try of the second half, which, you know, took away that lead. But the boys just put that behind them and put a bit of a, look, I guess a cricket score on the Rabbitohs there. We're scoring 36 points. I don't think anyone besides maybe you or Maddie, who put in absolutely outrageous tips week in, week out, and finally one of them pays off. But, yeah, it was a great game of footy and a good team performance, this one. This was our best victory, in my opinion, since at least the Townsville that we were at where we came behind to go to the grand final, Adam.
Yeah, you'll have a good come behind, eh? Yeah, Joel, your thoughts?
Oh, look, I was fired up last week, viewers, and I do apologise. It's obviously paid off, though, so I might have to do this each week and just be really fired up, point a few players out, tell them to step up, tell the team to step up because it's worked.
Joel, before you continue, is there going to be a rant this week or not? Yeah. Are we going to bring that segment back? There is, okay.
Here we go. Right.
It's weekly. It's weekly. Can't go from complete dog, you know what, to absolute perfection. So
even through the bye weeks?
Yeah, even the bye weeks, there'll be something to talk about, something the club off the field will probably do the stupid. So don't get me started yet, Troy, please. I'm trying to be positive here and enjoy the win that we had against I didn't go on that. But anyway, Hopgood, thank you for letting me keep my clothes on in this freezing temperature as well. Really appreciate that, brother. But the boys, I think that was our best performance to date for this year. We actually look like the team of last year, which was really promising. I feel like that's our DNA, and we actually played to that. And it was tough to see Davey go off and how he did, but I think there's no coincidence as well. That meant we got to go a lot more to the lineup. I think a lot of us fans want to see, and we started to play a lot more upbeat, running game. Hodgson is still there, but apart from that, even Simonson, I've got to take my hat off to him. I bagged him at the start of the year, but geez, he's turned a corner.
You actually could have taken your
hat
off.
Yeah, take it off.
There you go. Wonderful. All right, Troy, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I think your mate, Wiramu Greg, he sort of set the tone right from the first set, taking two hit-ups in the first set of six. He definitely meant business on Friday night. They laid the platform. He played really well. I think once we saw Mitchell back in the team as well, that first try, it was great vision from him to run down the short side and send Shawnee Russell in for the first try, which no one picked. Congratulations to Mitchell as well, kicked his 500th goal in the NRL. So well done to him. You're right, Hayden, it was a bit disappointing to see Davey go off as well. Look, that foot on the ball from Gutho was a masterstroke, but it could have also ended up in disaster as well. He could have went off with a massive ankle injury, but we missed Maddo in the second half, I thought. I thought we might have even scored a few more points in the second half if Maddo was still on the field. So he left just straight after half time, which was disappointing to see. But look, I think I couldn't really pick a player of the match. I think everyone just really dug in. And as Hayden said, it was one of the greatest victories that Parramatta's had, like being two men down and against the competition leaders and who everyone thought was going to win. But the boys dug in and really rallied around and got the victory.
Yeah, Matt, watching at home, your thoughts?
Yeah, it was good. It was like seeing the footage of Regan Campbell-Gillard on the sideline that Eels posted. That was me in the lounge room. But yeah, it was good to see the boys actually step up. It's kind of, where's it been all year? But we knew it was, we were due the bogeys off the back. 6-0 or something with 13 plus against Souths the last six goes, so it's good to get one over them, especially when half my family is South supporters. So it was a good game, but yeah, like Moses and Dylan, we've seen what they can do, and now they've just got to go on with it, basically.
Can we get rid of the short dropouts?
No, there's a reason. There's a reason for it. Adam explained it a couple of weeks
ago. I know he has, but early on in the game, nah.
And none of you mentioned, but we should also mention it was our first victory since our semi-final or preliminary final against the Titans at the old SFS. So good to get our first win at Allianz SFS for the first time in 14 years.
I was at that game. I remember that. That was beautiful. Beating the Titans. I was in a better mood that night.
Yeah, I don't
back
know,
in Adam, what 2009.
I'll quickly touch
on
a few
things. Famous run.
I think for us, it needs to not be a flash in the pan. Now we need to consistently go on with this, and that's my biggest concern. I don't be sitting back in 6 weeks' time going, "Oh, but remember how we smashed South Sydney?" Because, like I said, this year has reminded me of 2010 in a way, where we just seem to show a bit of hope then slide away. Look, for me, it's no coincidence that we won that game based on the back of our forwards actually going forward. My biggest criticism has been of Junior doing way too much ball playing. Look back at some of our most famous wins over the last 2-3 years. Every single time we've won one of those games, you can go back, like one of those close, hard games, you can go back and look at Junior. He's ran for nearly 200 or over 200 metres. Junior ran for 207. Greg run for 201. And look, I'm loving Greg. We're becoming besties. Keep seeing him in games now. He's really growing on me. But
should I do it, guys? Like,
yeah.
Seems we stitched everyone up last week. Adam, I just want to say, on behalf of us, you've let bygones be bygones. You've kissed a mate up. So
I've never thought I was more of an attractive man than in that photo. All right. No, look. He's consistently getting better, and I told him that. But I think this week becomes his biggest challenge because he needs to lead that front line this week. I know obviously we've got Offengale coming, and we'll touch on that later. But for me, he needs to turn around and he needs to lead by example this week without anyone else there. Look, you're throwing me off, but I'll touch on a couple of other things in that game. I want to give obviously Dylan and Moses. It's probably the first game they've both really fired together. It was Dillion Stadium, as it's been called, on Friday night. But I want to touch on the Bryce Cartwright try. Sorry, not the Bryce Cartwright try, the Will Pennicini try at the end. All game, Moses hit the short ball to Bryce. And I've been pretty critical of Bryce and his ability to run a line. He scored a great try running the perfect line. But all day they jammed in. If you watch that last try back, the way that gap opened up is constantly because he hit that front line and he went out the back to Will. that shows we did our research. We've criticised this team every time we played South Sydney about how easy is it to shut them down, like all we've got to do is shut down their edges, which we did incredibly well. We scrambled incredibly well. I thought Bailey was excellent out there, and obviously Pennicini is a great defender. But in attack, we did our research as well. We worked on their positioning, caught Latrell out laziness with that fabulous try to Dillon, and we hit their edges and ran through them perfectly as well. So I think it's good. Look, we've been bragging out Brad Arthur for a few weeks. I think it was a well-coached game by Arthur. As you said, Troy, it is pretty hard to pick a man of the match in that game. I'm probably going to go the easy one before I go around everyone. And so I thought that was Dillon's best game. And we keep saying that, but once again, consistency needs to be in his game. So I'll give Dillon Brown the wraps for that one, even though Moses did get four try assists, which I did predict. Hayden?
Yeah, I'll probably agree with you, but I'll give out a bit of an honorable mention here, which one of the boys might even give as man of the match. You mentioned his name. Dillon Brown, my man of the match, but massive honourable mention to Bailey Simonson. I thought we're speaking about him each week, how good he is in the centres. It's really good to see. I thought Opacek was such a big loss towards the start of the year, and I think he's made that, especially defensively, that position his. He had some great try-saving tackles and was great in attack. I think he had three tackle breaks. He was just filling stats like an NBA player all throughout the game.
Yep, I'll go to you, Matt.
Yeah, I'm gonna say... Mitch, and then yeah, Bailey. I think it was close for me. I reckon Bailey with the two tries of that, but just the way Mitch and we said, they said it in the commentary as well. Like Cooper Cronk said that there's no better short side play in attack than Mitch Moses down the short side, and he just showed it. Time in, time out. So, yeah, for mine, I'm going to go Mitch. Perfect with the boot as well. So that's shown we're really working on it. But, yeah, honourable mention, Bailey.
What were Mitch's running metres? Because Mitch had a massive running game. I'd like to know his stats.
Adam, can you actually, bring up those stats, please?
Yeah, he ran for 40 metres.
Right.
Mostly down the short side.
Mostly down the short side. Dillon Brown ran for 140, and obviously Greg and
did Moses have a couple line breaks?
Moses had.
Can you just read out Moses' stats?
Zero line breaks, but he had three line break assists. I know. Yeah. Being at the game, it did seem like he did more. Yeah, and he did. He was had four try assists, kicked for 377 metres in 12 kicks. And, yep. You know, obviously he had two tackle breaks. So there you go. Three offloads, which is quite an unusual stat for a halfback, actually. Joel, you want me to the match?
I really want to, as I said, Bailey Simonson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bailey Simonson was massive. No, not Josh Hodgson. I feel like, once again, we should have had hands on a little bit earlier, but that's just my personal opinion. I can't say too much about that. We won the game easily. I really like the halves. The halves, as you said, link up. It was so good to see both of them on the same page for once. It seemed like they haven't really been all year and they've finally done that. And coincidentally, it was probably Gutho's quietest game attack-wise. So I don't know if that's sort of coincidence together that they actually both stood up together and Gutho was able to take a step back. But my man in the match, I feel like, without his second stint, which was massive, I don't think we win the game or at least win the way we did, was Junior. I thought he was massive. We've been pretty critical of him the last few weeks, and I think deservedly so. He's been below his best. But the minutes he was asked to play, I think he played much the second half, and he was massive. His runs were right there. His offloads were there. Really, really a big fan of Junior's efforts on the weekend.
Yeah, for sure. Now, Troy, you said it was going to be hard. You've had time to think about it. I've done that on purpose. Who are you?
Yeah, look, it's coincidental that Gutho wasn't in there in an attack much. So he's not my man of the match. And I'm going to be controversial. I just think it was a real team effort. Why can't I sit on the fence? It was just everyone dug in. They did their jobs. And... No. Why? What's wrong with that?
It hurts sitting on the fence.
The Dally M.
It's a barbed wire fence, mate.
The Dally M points have to go to someone, so you've got to give someone...
Dally M points, here. Okay, so we're doing Dally M points now. Okay, yeah. Well, besides being a team effort, I will go Wiramu Greg. That was his best game that he's played for Parramatta.
Since he's
gone into first grade. And as I said before, he set the tone with two runs in the first set.
We should start doing Dally M points.
You nailed it. You nailed it. Should. Everyone give Troy a clap for picking one. Come on. Good job. Good job, Troy. All right. Look, we're going to touch on
missed
one more.
We missed the 7 minutes, guys.
Oh, sorry.
One more thing.
We've totally forgot.
One more thing before we move on from that game. Just the adversity to overcome the injuries. Obviously, we lost Davey pretty early, and then we lost Madison. And then we went on to finish the game with 15 players and went on with the game, which was very impressive. I'll touch on what you said, Joel, about Gutho. I feel like our halves team obviously had less of an impact on the game, him being involved, and that's what we need. I don't rate Gutho's final pass. We just need him to do those effort areas like he did with saving that try. But I know you're not going to like this, but I want to talk about Josh Hodgson. Because to me, I thought that was Josh Hodgson's best game in a Parramatta jumper. He actually attracted the markers in. Playing against Damien Cooker, we all thought it would be the New South Wales hooker. He attracted the markers in. Defensively, it was a lot more solid, and the kick pressure was outstanding. Do you disagree with any of that, Joel?
No, continue.
That's all I've got to say, really. Look, it was like the Josh Hodgson of old. I probably agree with you, but I like that we're in control of the game. We had the ability to be able to bring on hands in that last 25 minutes. We used the same ploy against the Gold Coast. South Sydney, one of the bad things is they do get a bit defensively lazy in that last 25 minutes for some of the players. So for me, it was a smart tactic to do that, bringing on a fresh hands, and we want to score some points. But yeah, that's all I've really got to add about it. I thought it was his best game. I'm not saying he's going to do it every week, but like I said, for all the team, the standard's been set and we need to go on with it. Does anybody have anything else to add from that game?
I'm surprised South didn't keep on going down that lethal left side of theirs more often.
Well, we covered it so well. We covered it defensively very solid. I think having Sean Russell as well on the other edge obviously made it a lot quicker, a lot more speed there and a lot more versatility. And like I said, Bailey did a job and Will did a job. So our standards really, you couldn't fault either of them in that game. And that's where we've struggled before. Nothing else moving on from the game. All right, we go on to Joel's rant before we talk about this week and a couple of other things.
Yeah, why not?
Start with this week, Joel. Fire away.
All right, first off, I just want to do a quick shout-out to one of our all-time greats in Mick Cronin, who has been inducted to the New South Wales Rugby League Hall of Fame tonight. So before I get too fired up, just congratulations to Mick, an absolute fantastic player for the Eels. We all can agree on that one. But my rant this week... I want to touch on the Jake Arthur scenario. I want to touch on this delicately because I don't like the way he has been spoken to or about from some of the fans of the Eels. I don't condone that at all. What I want to say is I feel like this parting of the ways is best for both parties moving forward. I feel like it released pressure for Brad. It's released pressure on Jake as well. And I think... it means we're going to see a little bit more of Dejan Arce as well, which is a good thing for the club. I feel like they're the real big parts of this to come out. For mine, I don't necessarily agree with the big fanfare that's come around in Jake Arthur leaving, when really he's just been a reserve grade player who's done a job for us when needed. But I just don't feel like there needs to be a whole big fanfare. It's happened. It's done. We can all move on. The club can move on. Jake can go, which I think would be good for him to go learn under Cherry Evans for a few years. Who knows? We might see him back in a number of years, but I just don't feel like it deserves the fanfare that it's gotten and the media coverage it's gotten, because if it was anyone else's development halfback, we wouldn't be reading about it. So there you go.
It's a nice segue because we're going to talk about the Jake Arthur development. Obviously, everyone's pretty aware of it. Jake Arthur obviously signed with Manly, midweek immediate release. Look, I personally, I know there's a lot of rumours going around. It's because what happened with the fans abusing him, the booing he's copped over the years and stuff. I don't think it's got anything to do with that. I think his dad's had it, given him a realistic tap on the shoulder and said, look, Jake, I'm saying this not only as your coach, but as your father. It's time for you to move on, and it's what's best for your game. getting away from his dad, he's not going to cop the criticism. That's fine. But the opportunity wasn't there for him at Parramatta. We all think Jake will develop into a second row ball playing lock. Look at it like that. We've got a lot of good second rowers there and a pretty good ball playing lock in Hopgood. Now, if Jake decides to stay as a halfback, he's stuck behind Moses. He's stuck behind Arcee, as we see it. And very likely soon, he'll be stuck behind Ethan Saunders. So moving Arthur on was a great option. It's no coincidence he's gone to Manly, where his father obviously was before he came to Parramatta. Obviously, there's still relationships there. But it's the best move for Jake. I believe we'll miss him a lot in New South Wales Cup. He's been absolutely killing it there. And I still think Jake does have an NRL future. But it'll be interesting how Manly develop. And look, it's very likely we'll see him play against us when we play Manly next, with Taylor Trevin's going to be out for Origin. Anyone got anything to add about that, Troy?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's obviously disappointing to see him go, but I think he's also going to find a challenge at Manly to crack it for first grade as well. He might get a start during the Origin period, obviously, with his DCE out, but we've seen this week, obviously, a player can't get straight into the first grade squad the first week that he gets there. He's got to learn the team and the like, but maybe for games 2 and 3, he might get a start at halfback. We've got Cooper Johns in that first grade spot there at Manly. But in terms of fanfare, I don't think there was really fanfare. I think there was just a wanting of the fans reaching out to Jake, because he had that perception of the fans, of the abuse that he did cop, that they didn't like him. So it was just a reaching out. There was no fanfare about it. It was just a reaching out from fans to him to show them him their support of him and whatever choices he makes.
Yeah, like I said, it's players come and go. Look, there's been some decisions I haven't agreed with over the years of, you know, your favourite players going and stuff. I think it's one we need to accept and not sugarcoat it, really. Like, it doesn't need to be sugarcoated to be about anything else but him going for an opportunity. Hayden, Matt, either of you got any thoughts?
Well, I was just going to say that I think regardless if a player's good or not, based on your own opinion, and you're welcome to speak about it, but if someone puts on your player's jersey, it's like the Josh Hodgson one. He's copping a lot of criticism this year. He's showing his moments in games, and that's what Jake's done in the past too. So if a player's wearing your jersey, you respect that player. You can have your own opinions in your head. You can speak about this podcast. But what's going on behind the scenes, which I'm not sure about you guys, but I can tell you for a fact that me and Maddie have seen it pre-game, post-game, and not just once or twice, it's a regular thing. If someone's playing that jersey, you respect that role. And us as fans, if it is true, which I know you don't think it is, Adam, but if it is true, it's very unfortunate and it gives a very bad perception of the club going forward.
Well, I was speaking to Jake a couple of weeks back about maybe switching the Dolphins, because I knew they had halfback issues and it would have been good for him to learn under Bennett. I think it's a good move, going and learning a different structure, considering the fact BA's been his coach since he was, what, 4, at Rouse Hill Rhinos. So, but yeah, as Hayden said, what game was it, Hayden? The Penrith game or something?
It happened at the Canberra game as well, I think.
Outside talking to Brad and Jake, and there was people like, what do you want his autograph for? And just like, yeah, literally
don't waste your time and all
standing like, Jake was standing in between me and Hayden, and these people were like, I could have punched them in the face. They were that close. Like, and they were saying it loud enough for him to hear. So I think it was, and me and Hayden kind of told him to shut up a bit. So, but yeah, it's going to be good for him, and I hope he absolutely kills it. So,
except when he plays us. Look, I just want to say one more thing about obviously players copping abuse. So we obviously have our opinions here, our criticisms, we're all fans, but I want to give Josh Hodgson another rap for the way he handled himself after the game. Going around, all the players went around, most of the players, not all, went around to the fence after the game. There was quite a large, very surprising, given our form, contingent of Parramatta fans at the game. And Josh Hodgson was one of the last ones to leave. And first time I've actually met the bloke and spoken to him, and he was one of the nicest blokes I've ever met. So, look, his impact on the club in that regard could be huge as well. Moving on, segueing on, because it's that crazy time of year. Obviously, we've spoken about Jake Arthur leaving. It's that crazy time of year as we approach June 30 when players start popping around everywhere, going left, right and centre. Teams start to realise that They can't win the comp. They may not make the finals. They start offloading players to free up some cap space, which means they can blood younger players and put them on better contracts to keep them stick around before someone else does. Happens every year. We've been the beneficiary. We obviously lost Jake Arthur, but I'll touch on the rumour before the confirmation, because we'll talk about the confirmation, which will segue into this week's team.
A lot of segues,
eh? We're on the ball this week. I feel like I'm doing a tour of Olympic Park. There's that many segues. But look, obviously, Connor Tracy, rumour floating around. That is a common LA, Matt. I don't know if you want to bring it up now. But speaking about Connor Tracy, look, if it is true...
this one?
I think it's I wouldn't say it's too late. He's a great signing, but it's where he has a spot if he does cover the bench. Because valid point made there by Nick, he's obviously going to come on a lot more money than Jake Arthur. Where's he going to play? I think Bailey's doing an excellent job in the centres at the moment, and it's his spot to lose. So I wouldn't like to see a new player come straight in. I know Joe has different circumstances, but new player come in and just take his spot. For me, yeah, look, he probably will go into the halves in New South Wales Cup. We've seen Jordan Rankin named there this week with RC named at 5'8", pushing Sandy back to fullback. So obviously we put Rankin back to fullback and put him in there if that's the plan to sign him. But it is a lot of money to spend for a player that's currently been playing New South Wales Cup to put him in back into New South Wales Cup. I'll go to you first.
The other...
Joel, I was going to you anyway. Your thoughts on that?
The other thing money-wise, I don't think we can forget Wonga Blake. Looks like he's on the outer. And if he can get this release early, we're going to have his cap space as well. I personally feel like if we do sign Connor Tracy, I think he's going to be for a centre. I can't see him obviously moving either halves that we've got. We've got Hands and Hodson forming that combination there. So I think the only real legitimate reason to sign Connor Tracy at the moment is because we've had issues with centre. I know Simonson has stepped up the last couple of weeks, but can we put all our eggs in that basket? Because we've seen it hasn't worked in the past. At some points, he's had some of his bad games. He's had some good games. So do we want that? We've just seen Connor Tracy have an exceptional game at centre against an Origin quality player in Dane Gagai. So is that the player we want to... And we've seen he can play winger. He can play in the back line. So if Gutho gets a call-up or something, or if he's injured or whatever, he can easily go to fullback as well. I personally think it's a great sign if we can get him. And this year, because of the way it all works money-wise, we don't actually pay too much for him for the rest of the year to have him on the books. So financially, I think it's okay, and we can shuffle things around for next year. I think we've still got quite a bit of space ahead. So I'm all for the signing.
Well, it probably keeps the players hungry as well. Like I said, if Bailey was to get dropped, he should go back to New South Wales Cup and perform. If Tracy was to start New South Wales Cup, he'll be obviously chasing that position in the first grade team. I feel like bringing a player in and shuffling him straight in can cause problems. Matt, your thoughts?
I know you're a big fan of him. I've been talking for the last couple of months with a few of in the other group chat, with a few Eels supporters that have actually dropped his name a couple times back when we were looking for a centre. But, yeah, I think one thing we've got to look at with Wonga, Panthers are paying this year 45% of his contract. So if he did stay next year, we have to pay the full amount. So he'd have to take a pay cut. But, yeah, it looks like he'll be gone to Union in the next couple of weeks, I'm hearing. But yeah, for me, if it means to me, I think the Sivo factor is the reason why I'd be going after Tracy. He's, I don't know, Sivo, we've seen it the last couple games. There's some, I don't know if he's 100%. I don't know if he's scared. I don't know, but there's nobody really pushing for Sivo's spot. And I think bringing in Tracy could actually make Sivo go harder, or actually give him a bit of a spell in New South Wales Cup and putting Connor in that spot. And I think Hayden agrees with me on that.
Yeah, Matty, you've taken the words out of my mouth when I heard.
Okay, thank you, Hayden.
go first, Hayden.
When I heard about the potential signing of Connor Tracy, at first I thought, like you guys, we've needed a centre for a while, but we've seen Bailey and Will fill those positions. We've seen a bit of experimentation with Sean earlier in the year in the centres, which now has found his spot on the wing. And as Matt mentioned, as good as we love the Sevo chant, as good as he is for a try every game at Bankwest, which Troy reports, and he will report during this podcast that he scores a try every game, there has been moments where he's been off. So as you mentioned, a week in New South Wales Cup may see Connor Tracy come into that side on the wing. I see it working out perfectly. I was actually a little bit surprised that the club re-signed Sevo at the start of the year. I thought they were potentially going to look at options like this. I think if it does get officially announced, it is to give Sevo a bit of a scare to say, look, mate, if you're not performing, you're going to join the cup. Otherwise, it'll be the other way around where Sevo keeps his spot and Tracy might be our winger or centre in the New South Wales Cup.
Yep. Troy, anything to add on that?
Yeah, look, I think it would be an exciting signing. I just, as we've all sort of talked about, I don't know where you'd put him. I don't think, I think he'd be too small to be on the wing, to be honest. And I don't think Sevo would be going anywhere. I think he'd be staying in that spot. He's actually played his best football the last couple of weeks, to be honest, I thought, Michael Sevo. I think the only concerning part about Connor Tracy is his injury factors. He is prone to an injury or two, so that has kept him out of a lot of football. So I think that could be a worrying factor if you're going to be buying this sort of player. I mean, long-term down the track, could you have him as a 14, have hands in at 9, and then obviously Hodgson still doesn't know what he's going to do next year. He's contracted for next year, but could it go down that route?
Well, I think Arthur comes in next year. I think they'll start blooding him for New South Wales Cup with the pre-season under his belt. I think Matt Arthur comes in and plays that role with hands next year. I think that's our option, to be honest.
Might be a bit early for him, I think, but...
No, he'll be 19 next year. Won't he? 19?
Yeah.
Age is not necessarily a factor. It's experience.
I know, but if he's good enough to almost win an SG ball, well, he won the SG ball game pretty much on his own back is what people are reporting. It means he's going to be good enough. You'd be amazed. Like, look, comes down to age, it comes down to size. Hands could play 65 minutes. He could come on and do a 15-minute job next year. We saw Jake obviously debut at 18. They come from the same tether, and they've been around this club system for so long.
The ball boys.
Well, I think it's the way we go next year. I honestly do. Yeah. I think Hodgson retires. I think Hodgson's going to stay in some kind of coaching role because the way he can develop both those players is going to be huge. But for me, the money that Connor Tracy's going to demand will be a bit too much to play at 14. That's just my opinion on that one. I think if we're signing him, we're signing him as a centre. Like I said, boys, Sevo, he could get the tap on the shoulder and Bailey could go back on the wing. We've seen Bailey in and out of first grade New South Wales Cup. I think he's doing the job there at the moment, so I think it'd be rough to drop him. But if he has a bad performance in 3 weeks and we do sign Connor, maybe that's where he comes in.
But that's our issue at the moment too. Like, there's no one in New South Wales Cup really threatening.
Exactly right. Yeah.
The first grade. So let's bring in some players that will make the first graders go, oh,
holy shit. That's why it's time to give these kids a go as well, honestly. Yeah. Like, I don't care about age, size. Back in the old day of under 20s, right, this is coming from a player that was in the system. I spoke to him about this last week. You would get dropped from under 20s to New South Wales Cup. New South Wales Cup was seen as being dropped. Under 20s was seen as the development to step up into first grade. I know they toughened a lot of players up because a little bit more physical, but that's how the Knights used to run their system. I don't know about all clubs. I know that's how the Knights ran their system. So these kids, if they keep performing in Jersey Flag now, which is obviously the old Toyota Cup, we need to bring them up into New South Wales Cup and have them put pressure on them because they are good enough. They just won a freaking comp. They're good enough. So I don't know. I know we all think differently about it. I know it can be said you can ruin a kid's career by bringing him up too early, but they'll prove if they're ready by playing New South Wales Cup. If they're not, you drop them back down. That's the next step they have to make. And it's a long time between now and next year, and it's amazing what a preseason can do, especially with all these magic supplements around. Let's move on to Joe Offengawi, the confirmed signing. Obviously, massive signing for us. Look, it's a scary thought for us now. I know we're not going to see it this week, and he steps straight back into the team, obviously, with a few outs. But at full force now, what our bench is going to look like is incredible. Offengawi, obviously an origin player, can play front row, second row, lock. But when we are fully fit, you think we'd most likely be, once again, I never thought I'd say this, but Paulo, Campbell, Gillard, Hodson, obviously, because looks like he's going to hold down hooker. You're going to have Lane when he's back. Cartwright is going to somehow start over there over Madison. Hopgood at lock, and then the bench would be Hands, Madison, Offengawi, and Greg. Now, the form all those players in and the form that those players are obviously capable of is a pretty scary sign for any team. I'll go to you first. Troy, I've left you last a few times. Offengawi, thoughts on the signing?
Yeah, well, I mean, he is an origin player in the past. Good size about him, experience, I think 160 NRL games. So, yeah, I think it adds a bit of size to the pack. Obviously, we've got a few injuries at the moment, so it's good timing. So, yeah, I'm all for it.
Matt, your thoughts on what we can expect from Joe on Friday night?
Yeah, it's good. He gets to put 60 on the Cowboys 2 weeks in a row now. So,
Is that your bold prediction? Is it? Or you got off early?
But yeah, no, I'm all for it. I still think there was a bit of we were after someone else and got offered him. But yeah, I think he'll be good. And we saw it on Insta, Joel. But yeah, so I think he'll be good for us. And you look at the game last week, every kick that went through, he was the first one there. Every grubber kick, he was chasing through. I think he scored one, but it got taken off him. And for a front rower to be going through and scoring off grubber kicks in the in-goal is something good. So, but yeah, he brings experience as well, like which we've all been crying for in our team for a while. So I think the next couple of signings or mid-season players we get are going to be a bit of experience for the next pathways. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Hayden, obviously being a Queenslander, you're loving this one?
Mate, I think this is a good signing. As Troy mentioned, with all the injuries going on, I think last week kind of showed that he's not, you know, an individual player either. He is someone who the team really gets around and he cares for his team. After that Tigers game, they all kind of farewelled him and there was this emotional moment where he really meant something to that team. And obviously after being with, I think it was the Brisbane Bronco and going to the Tigers, during that short time, he showed a lot of that team. And as Matty mentioned, a blinder last week and now he gets to play that team. Who are under strength this week. So really looking forward to him making his club debut on Friday night.
Yep. Joel, anything of value to add or just happy? You happy for once? Just happy?
Not going down the rant page?
No, it's the player we need. We need that sort of player. He's the third string prop now for mine. And while Wirimu and Ofahiki, Ogden continue to grow and develop as players. I've got someone who's been there, done that for many years. And for mine, still playing some pretty good footy. He's been doing a solid job, especially on the weekend for the Tigers. And he won their best player last year. So we're getting a player who's actually in some form, which is a positive for the club, actually. I can't believe I've given the club so many raps this episode. But fantastic. Well done. Can't wait to sign one or two more. I think, especially at the moment, because we're in that window still where we can win the comp. I feel like with a small couple of tweaks to the side, we've got a team capable of getting it done still. And I think one of our biggest weaknesses was having that extra prop forward who can be solid and play big minutes if required. We've now got that and a guy who we can rely on.
I think it was pretty funny this morning with the Tigers chairman coming out and saying that there was no deal done and there was no release done and all this and that.
I loved it.
And then 4 o'clock this afternoon, he's named in the team. It's rugby league. It's a great game, isn't it?
The release happened 6 minutes before the teams were named. The release happened at
3. It was weird, eh?
And at 4 o'clock, the team list came out. It was absolutely madness. Release was 3:54.
You knew it was going to happen when we didn't announce the team earlier. We were the last team to announce the team list.
But that's in classic, how you,
well, before style. Before 4 o'clock, the team was named, but the two number tens for the Cowboys and the Eels weren't there, but everyone else was named.
They must have been flipping a coin to see if he went to Parramatta or the Cowboys. But for me, in classic style, our club obviously got beat to another announcement by everywhere else. It was named in the team list, and it wasn't actually announced by the club. Moving on, obviously, let's just quickly go through our bowl predictions as we do from last week. We're going through the score lines. The final score was 36-16. Joel went 36-12 to South Sydney, so he was, well, he got 36, is the wrong way around. He was well off. Matt went 21-14, close on the South Sydney mark there. Hayden 26-22, even though it says 26-20, he's put the comments, it was 22. We've got you, Hayden, I've got you, bro. Troy said 24-20. I think I get the chalkies this week. I said 26-14. I was 10 points off, the same as what Hayden was, but I was closest with the obviously away team there, of sorry, the home team.
Here we go.
Yeah. First try scorer, Mike Sivo and Latrell Mitchell for me. Bailey Simonson. I'm only going to go through South. I didn't score first. Bailey Simonson for Troy. Hayden with Mitch Moses. Bryce Cartwright for Matt. And Joel Mitch Moses.
Well, Bryce Cartwright was the only one. Oh, no.
No, Bailey scored a double, so Bailey's Troy can probably have that point.
Oh, thanks. 100 points?
But no. I only get 100 points for predictions like mine in the next one. Which here we go.
We're not the AFL. We're not giving a point for missing. This is a GR.
He hit the post, all right. Joel went Latrell and Walker combined for 5 tries. Well, we kept them very quiet, Joel.
Got one.
Good to see we've got a happy Joel this week instead of the pessimist Joel. Matt went a Hopgood double, which meant Joel was going to be streaking. That didn't happen, unfortunately. Hayden went Hodson to score a try.
Thanks,
and Troy went well off with Gutho 2 try assists, and we commented how much better we played with Gutho not being as involved. But Adam, which was written wrong here, but I've sent the recording to Matt.
It's not right.
I only had a score of 26, and I said Moses to get 4 try assists, which I then said, which will be all 4 tries. Ooh. I said 4 try assists. He got 4 try assists. I don't get 100 points, but I surely get the point and take out this week.
Half a point.
All right? Yeah. Let's talk about Origin quickly, because I don't know if we'll do a podcast next week. Probably not, with no game. We can always review this game the week after. But Origin, obviously hoping to see New South Wales smash Hayden's Queensland. But shout out to Junior Paulo, obviously being selected once again there for New South Wales. Yes, apparently we are. Anyone want to add anything about Origin? I know there's not a lot of Parramatta-related news. I would have been happy to see someone like Hopgood get called into the Queensland squad. I know he's not going to play, but I think the experience would have been there for him. They've got him marked down. Slayer's got him marked down as a future Origin player. To me, there's no one else really pushing it. If you look through our team, the next most likely player to probably play Origin for us, Madison obviously got injured, but Regan Campbell got injured as well, is probably, in my opinion, Will Penasini. Down the track, he's quite a way off, but I can see him being an Origin player eventually. And obviously Hopgood for Queensland. Anyone want to add anything about the Queensland, New South Wales and selections? No, it's not really.
He might,
Eels related. I mean, we can do a separate podcast about it, I think. It doesn't have to be next week. We can just work out the time. If you guys want to see it, let us know in the comments, but I think it could be a good discussion.
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, there's not really too much to add there, Parramatta related. All right, moving on to this week. We've got a game, another game. It's good. It's good when you win a football. You look forward to games. We weren't looking forward to last week, and look what happened. Look, I think it's going to be a tough game. I know they've got some players out. They lose Valentine Holmes, Tom Dearden, and Ruben Cotter to Origin.
Murray Tuilagi.
And Tuilagi. So they lose 4 players, don't they? So. The thing for them is Dearden actually is the 18th man, so the 18th man can't play for their team but probably won't step on the field, which is a bit of a strange one that changed, obviously, with that concussion rule. We're very short price favourites. We're $1.18 on sports, but they're $5. You're always nervous about the bounce-back factor. The bounce-back factor after conceding so many points always makes me nervous. In saying that, I think we'll win this game. We've been offered 14 and a half start, which is huge. I'll run through the team first because there is some forced changes. Before I do, I'll make the point to say, I know one of you has raised this, not one of the players starting in our starting forward pack played in the grand final last year, in the starting grand final last year. So our starting grand final team, if I'm correct, was Paulo, Campbell-Gillard, Mahoney, Lane, was it Madison, and who was our starting lock last year? Was it
Nathan Brown?
He didn't start in the grand final though, did he? Didn't Murata start in the grand final?
No, I think Morata was off the bench.
I'm going to go back and have a quick look.
Yeah.
The information would have been handled. No, Morata did start. So Papali'i, okay, sorry. Right, Papali'i, yeah, started. Madison was
thank
off the
you,
bench.
Andrew, for that comment, yeah, there.
Yeah, so Morata started at lock and Papali'i started in the centres and then Maddock off the bench. So very interesting. It's obviously, look, how many games ago was that? What round are we, yeah, up to now? We're up to round 13. So, well, only half a season ago and 13. It's completely changed. Some of them have been obviously forced to injury. Yeah, it's round 13 this week. So it's been 12 games. It was 13 games ago. Moving on this game, obviously, like I said, I'll go through the starting team now. Gutherson at fullback, Russell and Sivo on the wing, Penasini, Simonson, centres, Brown and Moses in the halves. No changes there. Hopgood at lock once again. Cartwright and Dury returns to the team. I know there's a lot of people wondering why he'd been dropped. We thought there may have been an injury. Dury returns to the team. Second row due to losing Davey and Madison. Greg, Hodgson and Offengawi walk straight in the team at front row. Bench of Ogden, Hands, Luca Moretti making his debut, which we'll talk about a bit as well. Makatoa at 17. I won't say his full name, then there's no way I was getting that out. And we see DJ and Arcee take the Jake Arthur spot of being 18th man. 19, Dunster, Kai Rodwell at 20, Murchie at 21, and Lumi Lumi at 22. Anyway, let's... I'm getting lectures in the comments here for sure. Who wants to talk first about that game? Joel, you've been kept quiet for a while. We know you're happy at the moment. What's your thoughts on this game on Friday night? Where do we win it?
I'm actually a bit worried about this game. I feel like it's a danger game. We're very under strength in the forwards, and that's our bread and butter, and we play our best footy when we're going hard, straight, go forward, and we're missing a lot of those guys that do that for us on a regular basis. So a bit concerned. I think the 40.5 start, take that for the Cowboys. I feel like it's going to be a closer game than a lot of people are anticipating. I hate when we're so strong favourites. I really hate it. We don't seem to be too great when we're that low in the odds. But our 1-7, we need to sort of play a different style this week. I feel like we need to go more towards the 1-7 and play on the edges a lot more than just our typical up the middle. I think that's where our strength is this week. I think Hopgood, obviously being there still, is just going to keep everything together, be our glue. Should get it done still. Happy that Joe's starting. He's the quality we need there. We're a move to step up. I think we're going to see a big game once again from Brown and Moses to just basically have a running field day and probably rack up at least probably 100 metres each or so of running metres.
Yep, Matt?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. They all return against us, so I think Temalolo's back, so that's going to be a bit strange to handle, I think, for some of these younger guys. But yeah, to mine, I reckon Offengawi will lead the forwards around. He's the older, obviously more experienced. I think for this one, Hopgood stands up into a captain's role with Junior not there. We know he's been pinned as a future captain of our club, and we saw what he done with Panthers reserve grade last year. So he'll help with the forwards with Guffo. But yeah, I think Mitch against Townsend, got Mitch just running amok this game at home. Deal was announced finally. So yeah. I see it being a big score, and yeah, at home on a Friday night, what more could you want?
Troy?
Yeah, look, well, as we record this podcast tonight, it's 8 months to the day since we beat the Cowboys in the prelim final last year, 24-20. So,
eight months to the day that Hayden fainted at full time. Greatest moment ever captured on a video.
Well, I don't think Hayden would have been the only one. I thought there might have been a lot of para fans who did that. But the game before that, the Cowboys gave it to us in Darwin 35-4. But they're not
talking about this time when he fainted as well, if we look at the clock.
It's better than the old bloke crying in the front row. Wouldn't want to be.
I still haven't noticed him faint next to me 8 months on until that video. Sorry, Troy, go.
Not a problem. But the Cowboys of 2023 are not like the Cowboys of 2022, so they're letting in a lot of points. They've let in, I think, about 70 odd more points than what we have, and we've scored more points than them. So this season.
Do you want to touch on why you think that is, Troy? Why do you think that the Cowboys are a different team this year? Because it really is puzzling.
Puzzling, is it? Why is it puzzling?
Is it second year syndrome
or is it they overachieved last year? Really?
Well, it could be a bit of both because, yeah, they may have overachieved, but they're not. The defense isn't there from what was there last year. So maybe
they're not the same as last year. I don't know what's gone wrong with them.
Well, maybe they
lost the hammer.
Believe their own hype.
They lost the hammer.
They believe their own hype. They haven't done. They're probably the team out of the whole competition where the World Cup's hurt them the most because they probably needed all their young guys to go straight back into camp and do all the preseason stuff that they all did the year before. And they all missed most of or majority of that. And I think they're seeing the consequences of that. But to be fair, they've got the same wins and losses as us. So we can't be too critical. We can't be throwing too many stones. So
our season's not over like us them though, because we haven't conceded 50. But can you actually see them coming good? Because it obviously brings us into this game. They'll still be hurting from that prelim last year, and it could have had an effect on their season.
Nah, I can't see them coming good in this game. Obviously, Parramatta, as you said, were favourites. It's a tale of two sides, really. I mean, we've got the back line. They've got the forwards. They've got a couple of debutants as well in the back line too. So potentially they'll be targeted as well, especially with Mitch's kicking game, his long, big bombs. So should be all right. Should be a good game.
Yep, Hayden?
I'm looking forward to the battle of the number nines because, as we mentioned throughout the podcast, we've been a bit critical on Josh Hodgson. He's coming off a good game, but Reece Robson's been one of the form number nines all season in the competition. So I think he's one of the keys to the Cowboys if they were to get, you know, the upset here. So I think the battle of the number nine. The crazy thing for this game is Jake Granville playing his fifth or sixth position for the year. He's played everywhere for this team. It's becoming a bit of a joke, but I think Hopgood will absolutely monster Jake Granville. He's playing everywhere. Every week it's different. But obviously I won't tell you my score. We'll wait for that.
Yeah, wonderful. For me, it's a pretty simple one. We just need to do more of what we did last week. We just need to obviously back ourselves to the forwards. As they've got a pretty experienced fullback and players have played rep football there as well. One thing they're not lacking is obviously the strength of their forwards and a lot of experience in there, but we obviously need to go hard. Hopgood, as you said, Hopgood kind of needs to take on a captaincy role. Greg needs to step up, as I said earlier. Greg needs to be our leader. You can't expect Offengawi to come in and just lead by example straight away. He probably will, but Greg needs to make that example. So obviously they'll get our backs to be able to play and our halves to be able to play. If Dylan and Mitch both fire, I can see he's putting on a big score. But I'll see it as a blowout game late because I reckon it'll be nice and close in the first half. Let's get to our bowl predictions, then we'll go to some questions. I'm going to go first because I've got mine ready. I'm going to go Parramatta 44-4. So I think it'll be close in the first half, then blowout. I think the last week's effect is really going to hurt them. I think losing Dearden, who runs so much of their control as well. I think Townsend, for me, is a little bit passive these days. So, God, I hope that doesn't come back to hurt me. But I think that's one of the reasons they're struggling this year. So, 44-4. I know this isn't very bold because I said it last week, but there's a reason behind it. But I'm saying Sibbo first try scorer. And my bold prediction, look, I was going to say Sibbo hat-trick, but I think Sibbo marking up against the debutant and will have a great game. I'm going to go a bit bolder and say I'm going to say Sivo and Will double, so we'll combine for four tries.
So four tries to Sivo or two each?
Four tries, combined. So could be 2-2, 3-1, 4-0. It could be 4-0. It doesn't matter. All right,
One thing we forgot to mention, correct me if I'm wrong, this is Woodamu Greg going up against his former club as well, I believe. Yes, he is a former North Queensland Cowboy, so you mentioned it before, but just want to chuck that in there. Go on, boys.
That's why he's got to stand up, for sure. Go,
Troy. I don't think actually anyone mentioned that before, but...
No, we didn't. No,
so Thank you, Hayden, for that one. Look, I think you stole my score. I actually had it in my head 44-4 just then. So obviously I can't go that one, but great minds think alike. So I might go 50-12. And my first try scorer will be Bailey again. I've got to stick with Bailey. He got the second Eels try, so he'll have to get the first one this week. And bold prediction will be Offahan Gowie. You're to get a double against the Cowboys. Ooh,
that's bold.
Yeah, well, you know, I've been criticised for not being bold enough. So he played the Cowboys last.
Offahan Gowie to run 10 meters.
Yeah, well, he played the Cowboys last week, so he got a try. So
and he got two tries last week, but one was disallowed.
That's right. So he's going to double his try tally against the Cowboys this week.
What do you got, Hayden?
I think this will be a bit of a blowout score. I'm going to go 44-4. No, I'm not joking. I'm going to go 38-10. I'm going to go 38-10. I reckon we'll win this game. Don't listen to Joel, punters. Listen to me. I reckon we'll cover that line of 14.5. I think it's an easy job at home against the Cows on Friday night. Going to go a bit rough on the old first try scorer. You mentioned he knows how to run a good line lately. Going to go Bryce Cartwright. I'm going to go Bryce Cartwright, first try scorer.
Sorry, when you said run a good line, I automatically thought Sean Lane. But anyway, continue.
Bryce Cartwright, first try scorer. And bold prediction, I'm just trying to think, I guess it's not all that bold, but I'll go Sivo to score a double and get 4 tackle breaks.
So I think he's, what is it, 41 out of 42 games at CommBank, I think. 41 tries out of 42 games.
Yeah, safe for a try at CommBank.
Not even a try game, he needs to work harder. If he gets a hat trick, he will. All right,
or four. Joel.
Or four. You can have a couple of weeks off and not score. What do you got, Joel?
What's it called? Score? I'll go 26-14.
Oh, jeez.
A closer game, though. Don't underestimate. I think, in a way, Cowboys might have been looking at this game and they want to go after us for what we did last year. I feel like first try scorer, Sean Russell, will get over the line. And my bold prediction, Troy kind of stole it. I was going to say Joe Offahan Gowie to become a history maker and score a try against the same opposition 2 weeks in a row, which I don't know if that's been done before.
Well, we'll have to ask David Middleton about that one, the stats guru. So,
well, boys.
Yeah, I think it has.
Yeah,
boys, for a bit of value, because I actually have in my own YouTube channel Offahan Gowie to score at any time. I didn't mention it on the podcast, but because you boys have both brought it up, he's paying $8.25 to score this weekend. So really nice price for Offahan Gowie.
But gamble responsibly.
What's he paying first try scorer then? Must be about 60.
I'll have a look for you, mate. Probably 100 to 1.
He's probably not even listed.
Yeah, he probably doesn't have a market.
41. All right. That's pretty low.
41, who is the second most behind Wiramu Greg at 61.
Wiramu's been close. Guess we need to do all right. I might chuck a sneaky 10 on that. Matt, what do you got?
Hang on. We haven't got to Joel's bold yet.
I just said it. Joel Offahan Gowie to be history maker. To score against the Cowboys 2 weeks in a row. Never been done.
Calm down, Joel.
We're not ranting now.
He's going to do
this Joe to score a try.
And guess what? I'll say this, boys. If Joe Offahan Gowie scores a double, I'll go for my streak. I'll honour that deal.
We need to speak to him pre-game, Matty. Let's do it.
Yeah, 100%. I'll clip it and we'll play it for him.
Well, Jermaine saw it last week. He was ready.
What do you got, Matt?
I've got Eels winning 42-16. I've got first try scorer Joe Offahan Gowie. And my bold prediction is Bailey for a hat trick.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So you're going to say offer for a hat trick, then you really missed out.
Yeah, because Joel's gone one try, I've gone two. You should have went three.
All right, let's get a few questions. Fire your questions away if you're still with us. We'll do about five minutes on this. So, Matt, I know you've starred some of them, so fire them up. I'll answer the first one.
This one?
Well, I've already answered that one. 100%. I think, as I said, he needs to lead by example. That one, that's the one I wanted. But touch on that Greg one because it flashed up. He does need to lead by example, as I've said. Look, this is an interesting one for me because Dylan's obviously killing it at 5'8 at the moment, but with the emergence of Ethan Saunders coming through in the next 2 to 3 years, and obviously Moses signing a big long-term deal and Dylan signing a long-term deal, I think Dylan has got all the qualities of a really good fullback. The way he can chime in and take on a line, look, sometimes it's seen as selfish by him not passing the ball enough. Sometimes I feel like he just doesn't pick the right moments to go himself, but I know he'll get better in 4 to 5 years at doing this, and we forget how young Dylan is, but he seems to come and go in games too much. At fullback, he has the flexibility to do that. The thought of having Dylan at fullback for me and being able to throw those last passes to the winger or a short ball to a centre or take the line on himself is very scary, and I'd love to see it. For me, it probably means we have to move someone on, and obviously that person would be Gutho. I think the way the salary cap's going and the young players we've got coming through, that Gutho is probably the next player out anyway, to be honest. And let's be honest, Gutho, one more knee injury, which I obviously hope doesn't happen, but he's one knee injury away from being done anyway. So for me, I'd love to see Dylan at one.
Gutho's not going anywhere.
I reckon he moves the centre. But
well, he moves the centre. Yeah.
Who else panicked when they saw Gutho clutch his knee when Bailey scored?
Every time he does, I do. Every single time
he when he clutched his knee, I was like, uh-oh. Let's try this one.
Anyone want to answer that one? Joel?
Oh, no. I don't even think Gutho knew what he was doing when it happened, so it wasn't like it was a play that he was trying to do.
As I said, he was very lucky not to get a serious ankle injury out of it, but obviously...
But he was also...
Obviously, he can't lash out with a boot, but...
Exactly right, yeah. He's very lucky that he didn't kick him in the head and be a penalty try, but I'll touch on that because I was blowing up in the stands, the Gutho's listening. It was so obvious that kick was coming. Hey, I know you were right behind it. I could see that kick coming, and Gutho's positioning was once again terrible. So he probably got lucky he saved the try. I would have been sitting here questioning his positioning once again. Look, if you didn't duck off to get KFC, you would have heard that we've already explained this, Michael. So we'll skip that one. Hope your twist was worth it.
Shout out to KFC if you're listening.
KFC,
I don't hate KFC.
You sponsor a lot of NRL teams.
Matt, you want to answer this one? You're pretty much over all the young players coming through.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Imagine having both Pennacinis on each side of the field. That's a good one. I'm not too sure about Williams. I know there's a few, obviously Blaze, and a few others that have been pinted against, like. Put in there first, but yeah, Williams is all right, but yeah, I reckon Pennacini is pretty special, just like his brother.
Has there ever been a brother combination in the centres at a club before?
Gidley's?
The
Morris boys.
They wouldn't have both played in the centres at the same club.
Yeah, sure. Didn't they at the Bulldogs once?
Any other questions?
On Richard Pennacini, has he got a rugby background like his brother? And is there any concern about maybe Wallabies in the future?
No.
Can't answer that question.
Yeah, I don't
see the rugby background, but I don't
as,
think
we'll as long there. As Will's at the club, I don't see. And there's another brother as well, apparently, that's really good.
Can you put that question in the comments, please, Joel?
Yeah, well, I don't think we'll ever lose Will Pennacini. I think if he was going to go, he would have gone. I think he loves where he is, and he's look. As I said earlier, I think eventually one day he'll play for New South Wales, and that'll be enough to keep him around. Because really, all that's attracting these players to rugby at the moment is the World Cup at home. Once that's done, rugby will go back to being irrelevant, in my opinion.
But that all depends on too if the international rules change as well, like the tier situation as well. Because if Tonga become a tier one nation, then he won't be eligible for New South Wales.
That's true. But that'll be his choice to make when that time comes, won't it?
If
think if he's good enough to play for New South Wales, he'll have the chance of playing for Australia as well. So, here's someone who's Dejan Arce going playing halfback in New South Wales Cup. He's named at 5'8 this week with Rankin moving to halfback. Look, I'd like to see a combination there, Rankin back at fullback, and as I said, see Arce. I'd like to see Saunders come through and move in there eventually in the next few weeks. And like those other good players, as you mentioned before, Richard Pennicini, you'd like to see him come in a cup as well and really get him ready for that big pre-season under a belt and bring him out sometime next year. Any other questions we're going to?
Mustard.
I've got a little question. I'm not going to put in the comments, Troy, but who do you boys think would have been added to the club this week if Joe Ofoangiowi didn't sign? I mentioned the other day that I think it probably would have been the seventh or eighth debut for Kai Rodwell. Obviously, we've mentioned Arzy being 18th man. Who do you think, boys, would have been on the side that's not there currently if Joe didn't sign?
Well, I think Ogden was started in the front row, obviously, putting him in there. I know, obviously, that opens up a bench, but look, Rodwell, although we love to joke about him and stuff, it was only 2-3 weeks ago he was starting on the bench in New South Wales Cup. I know I've got my injuries and stuff, but... Murchie's done the job there. He's pretty versatile playing the front row and second row, so I would like to see Murchie come back on the bench.
Thanks,
James. There we go. Yeah, I've been really happy with Ogden. We got through some massive numbers again last week. His post-contact meters are huge. And look, obviously when we get back to that full-strength team, as we mentioned, which we don't seem to be able to get to, it'll either be Ogden or Greg that drops out of the team, you think. So I can't see it being Greg on current form, but it's going to make Ogden hungry. It's going to make him get that taste and be very hungry.
I think what's good about this is it's more development for Ogden and Greg.
Yeah,
100%. Junioring that out. So that way we won't lose anything. Like, we've seen it before. We've all asked for it where RCG or Junior start on the bench. But I think this period with Ogden and Greg is going to help us when RCG and Junior come off. We won't lose anything.
Yeah, 100%. You're right. And good, I think Greg, the form he's in, get ready to put it up again, Matt, as like my final thought before we go out. But I think Greg plays for New Zealand at the end of the year. That's how well he's developing. He definitely, if he keeps up his current form, I think he plays for New Zealand. Right, that's all we've got time for.
You're lucky because I was going to clip it all together and put all the comments of, oh, he's a cat, and then put that together. But I just didn't have the time.
I'm glad to be proven wrong because, look, he was a cat. From the moment he came down, he had this big size about him. And it's one of the things I touched on about some of the players, e.g., look, I spoke about Bradman Best. Brothers shares the same opinion. Best hasn't developed his game. There's rumours flying around Best. He hasn't developed his games. He's always been big, Greg, but he hadn't developed his game when he first came down because his size was enough in the lower grades to get his metres. He had to develop his game, and he has. He's got fitter, his leg drive's got better, and he's learning how to run into the game. So I'm happy to be proven wrong. He's just got to keep it up now because he needs to consistently turn up. That'll do us, Troy. Take us out. Have to see everyone at the game on Friday night and hopefully get a good win and continue this charge that we need to do because we've stood it up against this.
Yes, thank you very much for joining us on Facebook Live if you were there. Thank you very much for listening on the podcast when it comes out on Apple and Spotify. Don't forget to please subscribe to the Talking Para podcast on Apple and Spotify, also on all the social media channels as well. Subscribe to MTady Sports TV, Entertain House, League of Inches, and the Paracave podcast as well. And we will all see you out at the CommBank Stadium on Friday night. Go Para!
Go Para.